as believers, as kingdom citizens, that we must have within us to be able to stand in there, take the heavy punches, to deal with the trauma of the lives that people bring to us. They bring that to us with service. And at the end of the day, I just still want to see it through. You know, a lot of us, we have jobs. We get to do all kind of things for work. But how many of us really, outside of a Sunday, that everything you get to do every day, that it pulls from the core, the inside of you, everything God has placed in you, and then it breaks you down and you just say, Lord, I'm just trying to see it through today. I just want to see it through. And today the Lord placed this message on my heart for you. Because how many of us, right, have been to the point daily, weekly, not just church. We can't make church a country club. I'm talking about a place where our mission is driving us to the edge of ourselves so we can meet Jesus. When was the last time? Where are you going to get, right, to the water? And you got people following you, and the only thing you can do is lift up a staff. If we can do it, if we can control it, then we don't need God. And so, this is why we go. We teach. We baptize and we disciple. And it has to be not just something for the church, but it has to become a part of your own personal identity. You know, I get to golf and I never tell guys I'm a preacher. It's a guy, he comes, I golf with him for a whole summer. He never knew I was a preacher. Then I told him at the end of the summer, hey man, you know I'm a preacher? He said, what? He said, you're going to upsell me with Jesus? And in essence, I really wasn't trying to upsell him anything but my consistency. Now he visits Kumo. Now this year, last year, 2 years ago, he ate Thanksgiving dinner at Golden Corral. This Thanksgiving, he ate dinner at my house with my family. And so Henry David Thoreau, one of the great authors, said, a truly good book teaches me better than to read it. I must soon lay it down and commence living on its hint. What I begin by reading, I must finish by acting. And this is my personal conviction, that I just don't want to be a churchgoer. I just can't be that guy. I tell them at Kumo that the moment when I can't come here and make a difference is the day that I no longer can show up. Because I don't need a title to feel important. It's a lot of work with that title. Richard Nixon said, defeat doesn't finish a man, quit does. A man is not finished when he's defeated. He is finished when he quits. And today, my challenge for you is to see it through. I've went through up and down in the last couple weeks. I've buried an uncle-in-law, my aunt's husband. I've had to travel a lot, had to deal with I became a grandfather on my birthday, on the 4th of July. Amen. Praise God. I'm proud. But I really want to get to the edge of this thing we call our faith. Like, when was the last time, you know, our faith should get, it should bring us to the end of ourselves. You know, my mother, I love my mother, and she actually goes to Kumo now. She cooks the meals, so if you ever come and you get to eat her cooking, I think people come now just to eat, because that's a different world. But at the end of the day, I want to fulfill the mission. It's that important. You know, David had three mighty men. I'm off my notes now. The Holy Spirit's in control. And his three men, one of them killed, I think it's like, what, 400 in a day, or 300? And the only way he can do that was he had to be wedged in a ravine, if you look at the historical context, and then kill one man at a time, and then stack the bodies up and then back up. There was another guy. The scripture said that he fought so long and hard that his hand cramped to the sword. Literally, that means that the part of his brain that tells you to let go broke. I know we have some neuroscientists or doctors here somewhere. You know, you can back me up if you want to with an amen. And then there was another guy. Because, see, sometimes it's easy to get stuck with the title. It's easy to build the big building and get comfortable, right? It's easy to do that. But then there was another guy that the scripture said he fought over a field of lentils. If anybody know what lentils are, it's just beans. And I have to reduce things down to the basics for me so I can remain faithful. And I just simply said, well, if this is my bean field, then I'm going to fight to the end. Amen? It may not mean much to you, but have you found your bean field? Have you found that place that it looks like they don't deserve it, that these people aren't worthy, but have you found that place? And said, I'm going to be committed to people who can't give me anything back. They can't give you anything back. And I want to remain faithful in that place. And that's why preaching is good, but really I just want to be faithful to the van ministry. Some years ago, Grady is getting to know me, you know, and he said some things to me today. He said, yeah, I didn't know this and that and this. But one of my elders at Withamsville, he said, man, he called me in the morning. He said, I had a dream about you. He said, it's a pretty big dream. And I just want you to know, you know, we are thankful for your faithfulness to this ministry. And I just want to finish the race. I don't know if anybody ever, like, you know, I'm just trying to see it through. And today, if I can get a few more people to make some commitments, you don't have to come to Kumo, but just in life, to say, hey, I'm going to find a bean field where I can begin to work and make some commitments, and so be it. T.D. Jakes said, until you've had the joy of finishing, you'll never trust yourself. When was the last time you pushed yourself off the pages? When was the last time? You know, my big challenge now is I'm overweight. I was losing weight, then Nick hurt me at Camp Kumo 4 years ago, and then it just caused me, you know, I couldn't work out like I wanted to, you know. And But being a finisher, you know, if you've been around me a lot, I've accomplished a lot. I was on a pace one time where I wrote a book every year for 3 years and published it. Every year I wrote a book for 3 years. And so I'm not the guy that gets caught up in the joy of just finishing, because finishing is the expectation now. You just do the job, you get the accomplishment, and then you start building again, because that's just what we do. So I text David this morning and I said, David, I'm gonna share your story. David was a guy who came to Kumo with his wife. David, they couldn't pay their bills. They didn't have anything. I knew about CityLink. I said, David, hey, go to CityLink. They got a job program for you, brother. Now, he was a veteran as well. They had 4 children. And I said, David, go to CityLink. We'll be there with you. He goes to CityLink, signs up for a tech program, gets a certificate. He gets a job in 12 weeks. During the 12 weeks, he still had to pay his bills and feed his family, wouldn't you say? So me and Mark get together. I say, Mark, hey, listen. His rent wasn't that much because they stayed right in the neighborhood. I said, David, how much is rent? David says, we need this amount. I say, Mark, we can cover that, can't we? Mark, if they don't have to worry about rent, because him and his wife were having problems, right? And it's his job to provide and protect, but he was in a 12-week transition, so he couldn't provide, but he still could protect. And so the brotherhood, we can say, well, we can help him provide. And so I said, well, if we cover that, then she can't argue. He can sleep at night. Amen, sisters? Rent's paid, we got food, we rich, right? And so we did it. David took a job right out. His first job, he was making $30,000 a year. He took a job, he had to drive to Dayton. He was tech guy, I don't know, like learning how to protect insurance systems or whatever. He was the hacker, I guess, the practice hacker, I guess, I don't know. Right? Then he got a promotion to like 40-something thousand. Then he got another promotion. Everybody say another promotion. Now he's making $60,000-$70,000 a year from zero in a 2-year period. David led our worship. If you come down during that time, he led our worship. He used to send us. Now somebody called him from New Mexico. Hey, David, we have a job offer for you at $55 an hour. Would you come in? We'll relocate you and your family. Now David lives in New Mexico. Started out in Moosewood, Millville area. Barely could make it. But because we were in position, we were the rock. When the wind's blowing every other way, we still there. Do you not know there was a time where even I said, man, Lord, when can I go? And the Lord said, you can't go. How can they hear without a preacher? He said, well, I'll compromise with you. I'll let you write the books, and you can go speak, and you can go do that, but you got to stay faithful to them. Lord, he says, I'll lift you up, Lamarque, but you still got to be faithful right here. And I said, yes, Lord. There's a cost for that. The cost, it'll break you. Like this week, I just flew back yesterday. My son's in Nashville, so I was in somewhere, Greensboro. I flew back yesterday morning for today, and then I'll fly back this afternoon to go back and be with him. And I get the call. It's 11 at night in this lotto. And I'm really just trying to see this thing through. Lotto, he struggles with alcoholism. He shows up every week in his wheelchair. He broke his hip. He called me the other night. He called me in the hospital. He says, man, I broke my hip. He said, they said, I got to heal. They're going to let it heal on its own. I'll be all right. Then he calls me the other night. He calls me Scooty. So if you know me from the neighborhood, they call me Scooty. All right. He's in tears. He says, Scooty, I need you. I love you, man. I'm hurting so bad. And I sit up on my hotel room. My son's over there in the bed. And he said, just pray with me. He said, I'm going to try my best to get there on Sunday. I'm getting ahead of my slides here. But we just got to see it through. And so the story for Lotta was really for the Words to Life ministry. Because what I'm learning about some of these people is Kumo has the words of life. And they show up for the words. You know the part where in the scriptures, right here where, so Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave too? And Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words to eternal life. And then in that place, because of the level of surrender that we have brought into that place, the words of life flow through us. And people in that community with the mental health disorders and people who can't pay bills week to week and don't have food, they show up. Lotto wheels in there. No matter whether he won the battle with alcoholism that week or not, he wheels in that place. He says, where can I go? When will we become a people where they just want to come because nowhere else can they get the words of life? I just want to see you through. I'm completely convinced in you. I'm completely convinced that the creator of the universe has put so much greatness in you that you can do much, much more. You can take it higher and higher and higher. I'm so convinced. So convinced. And so I just want to be faithful to the van ministry still. Because I got to keep it simple so I can keep my head down and do the job. And so when we go to the book of James, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who look at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And so, this counts, this matters to me. Because I want to be faithful. You know, I love my wife. I'll be faithful there. But whatever the Lord has given me, whatever he's assigned me to do, I just want to be faithful. I want to finish it. I want to do it well. Actually, I want to do it with excellence. And as the body of Christ, we have to make sure we execute. We have to. We have to execute. Have to. It's probably the biggest bridge in the body of Christ that we have to cross is getting from coming in, I know Jesus, to execution. We get comfortable in church. And I'm going to redefine that today for you. We get comfortable in the building. I went to a church one time where they took all the chairs out and turned the AC off. I heard the AC was out last week and everybody still showed up. So that's a good thing. You guys get some points, right? But a guy named Pastor Doug, he took all the chairs out and turned the AC off. 500-600 people show up for church. They had to sit on the floor. People were leaving mad. He didn't care. He said, this is what church is like underground in China. This is what church is like underground in China. At Kumo, sometimes I show up. The heat's not on in the wintertime. Anybody ever been there for that? You've been there, haven't you, Alicia? I might have to preach in a skull cap. We can't cancel church. It happens. Because we want to do what it says. I look forward to those moments where it's not comfortable, where it's not easy, where they push me beyond my limits, because I know that I'm going to meet Jesus at the end. Oh, I didn't change slides. There it is. And so let me introduce this to you. The reason why James was so important was this term, ecclesia, which is the Greek term for church, which is really not a church term. It was a Greek term that they used in the church, but really, the term, really, at the end of the day, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into the public space, an assembly of the people convened at the public place of the council for the purpose of deliberating. I'm going to further explain this some more. A company of Christian or of those who, hoping for eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, observe their own religious rites, hold their own religious meetings, and manage their own affairs according to the regulations prescribed for the body for order's sake. And so at the end of the day, the other parts of this that I don't have up there, it means that these people were the called out. They sat at the king's feet. They heard his heart, his will, and his intent. And then that's why the first paragraph is so important, because then they went out and made policy. Everybody say policy. All right, because we're talking about kingdom citizens. So in the kingdom citizen, and in the word it says we are ambassadors, right? And royal priests. So if you're an ambassador, guess what you are? When you go out and speak on behalf of the king or the government you represent, that means you're speaking on behalf of policy. And so, how can you go if you don't sit at the feet of the king and hear his heart, his will, and intent? And then what if you are going and you're not prepared because you haven't sat there long enough? And so as I get ready to finish this up, I'll get here in Isaiah 61, one of my favorite Bible verses. Verse 4 isn't up there, but I have it here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Everybody say good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for their prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is our job. How many of us would say that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me? Raise your hand if you would say that. Yeah, it's on me. And so because of this, I got to see it through. Because of this, you have to see it through. Because of this, we have to see it through. Because in this world, people are captive to bad ideas, generational ideas. People are struggling, and they're looking for somebody who's anointed. I'm going to explain that here in a minute, so they can become free. And then it says, they will be called oaks of righteousness and a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. How cool is that? These people will be called the oaks of righteousness. And so now I'm a defender of the people because now, because of my anointing and my faithfulness to them, they will become the tree, the oaks of righteousness. They will become even larger than me because of my faithfulness. But the next one is even better. Verse 4, and I'll read it to you. If you want to go to your Bible, you can. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. And so because of your faithfulness, this is the thing. Like when I'm ready to give up, and some days I'm ready to give up. Some days I get prideful and I build my own throne. And I may think, man, I could be doing anything around the world. And then I remember who can stand before my holy hill, those with clean hands and a pure heart. Then I remember that because I show up, then these people, and we teach them that they will become the oaks of righteousness. And then one day I'm going to run out and I'm going to stop. My time will be up. I will be like Moses. I cannot go any further. And they will rebuild the ruins. And I believe in them. These people, they are way better than people like me. They have a strength in them that I could never have on my best day. And the only reason why we don't get to see it is because they're broken, because life has beat them down. But I'm telling you today that there's a light in this place. There's a light in this ministry, and I will not let it go out. Because I want to see it. It's not about me. I want to see it. How many of us want to see it? How many of us want to see people whose hands have never been able to lift up? And they lift up, oh, you gates, oh, you everlasting doors, be ye lifted up. Let him in who? The King of Glory, the Lord, mighty in battle. This matters to me. Why? Because I'm them. People see me now, they don't know my story. They don't know I barely finished high school. They see author, they see letters at the end of my name because of my education. They read my bio and they don't see the rest. They don't see the rest. They're not there when my mother's in the audience, and I'm trying to love her back to health from childhood trauma. And I get to look out there to my mother and say, can anything good come from Dornessa Ward? And so this is why we need the anointing. To rub with oil, to anoint by implication, to consecrate, also to paint. And so have we been rubbed with his spirit in his word and consecrated? That means, are you rubbed with his spirit in his word? If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, it gives us the blueprint right there. Put the word on the post of your door, at your house, on your eyelids, tie it on your fingers. Talk about it when you walk along the way. But have we been smeared with the word and his spirit? Who does this apply to? Kings, prophets, priests, any leadership office? But the word calls us ambassadors. The word calls us royal priests. And then if you really, really go way, way back, you can see the order of Melchizedek, where he was the first person to be king and priest and one. And then David came, and then Jesus. And so my identity has been shifted in the scriptures. And then, as I was reading, there was a bad translation, even in this. The translation it really, they said the anointing breaks the yoke. But then as I was reading the other translations, if you look in the Hebrew, it was a bad translation. In King James, they got lazy. And they said really what it meant was that the calf would get so strong and grow that the yoke would burst. So in essence, when you are smeared, when you get enough Jesus, that the things that are holding you back, they break, the chains break off of you. But at Kumo, I tell them this is not a good guy sport. Because you got a real enemy out there who want to take you out. And we like to play nice. And this is why I'm so passionate. And I preach so hard. And I go all the way with everything I do. Because I don't want to miss the moment. Moments show up like at the golf course with HP. Moments show up. All the time. Abraham Lincoln said, you know, always take time to minister. Moments show up while I'm at Joseph Beth and I'm sitting there and a lady begins to weep and we're just talking about a simple book, but her life was broken and Jesus showed up in the bookstore in the form of me. When are we gonna be everywhere we go? Be the hands and feet of Jesus. When are we going to see it all the way through? I tell my family, it doesn't matter when I die. I've already stood on my grave. I look back into my life. And I tell my wife on my tombstone, I want you to put, he believed God. Don't put a beginning date and an end date. Because that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that my life line up to it. Don't even have me a funeral. It doesn't even matter. Did I do my job? Did you do your job? Men, have we worked and provided, or are our wives like an olive shoot at the table? Like in Psalm 128, and the children are right there around the table. Did you do your job? Do you even know if you're anointed? And so because I believe these things, it's changed my life. Because I believe I'm a kingdom citizen. Because I believe what Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says. Because I believe that the creator of the universe has called me out. I've taken full ownership of everything the word says. In the highest form of humility, we've got this backwards in the church. The highest form of humility is for you to believe everything the word of God says you are. That's the highest form of humility. The highest form of humility is for me to say, yes, Lord, to everything the scriptures say about me. And because I've done that, my life has changed. Because I believe I'm royalty. But I also read Philippians 2, where it said, Jesus, being like God, right? Did not take it to be the ultimate, you know, place to be. But he said he shoved that to the side and served man. The scriptures have given us a blueprint. And so I embrace the responsibility. I embrace the call. I embrace it all. Because I know that I'm supposed to serve people. And it's okay. I'm okay with it. And when I got to stand on big stages, I stand on them. And when I got to drive the van, I drive the van and have a good old time. Right? Amen? Man. Whew. I'm hot. I need a towel. So I like to leave with commitments. Stay engaged in the process of the Great Commission. Are you engaged in the process, really? Every day when you wake up, is it, who am I going to witness to? Make sure my choices and my habits align with eternity. I will. Make sure my personal and kingdom identity is aligned. Some people may not don't understand the difference. That's okay. But just know this, that everything, the highest form of humility is for you to believe what the Bible says about you. And because of that, the other one, when you do that, they both will align automatically by default. Operate with kingdom vision and Ephesians 4 awareness. Ephesians 4 awareness is just simple, right? Jesus led captivity captives and gave gifts to men liberally. Are you delivering your gifts to humanity? You could be an excuse maker or an excuse breaker. Your choice. Everybody gets an opportunity to live their best life in the kingdom. And just because you got a good job and can pay your bills, that's good, but that don't mean you're living your best life. It just don't mean it. I'm not gonna bite my tongue on that. Seek God to gain clarity with your purpose and calling daily. Closing commitments. If you could take a picture, I would, if this is new to you, take a picture, read it daily, and allow this to challenge you to be better. Because at the end of the day, folks, I want to see it through. What about you? Amen? God bless you all very much. All right. Well,
let's stand and sing.
Let's stand and sing. Yeah. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Lamarcus. I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where fears nor sorrows can be found. And I'll receive my mansion, robe and crown. Mansion, robe and a crown. There love always abound. Let me your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown.
Lamarque, God bless you. And we look forward to continued work and partnership in the future. Actually, thinking about something coming up this next week, you mentioned Alicia. I know she and Eric and the family go down there every few months to help with preparing lunch, and we're going to be doing that again this coming Sunday. And so I encourage you not only to participate in that if you can, but we're also going to be next Sunday out at Midwestern Children's Home helping to get Camp Kumo ready for a wonderful experience for some of these inner city kids who get to experience a week of focused camping at Midwestern for several years now. Nick and our teens have been there as leaders, as counselors, as campers, and they're going to be doing that again. But we're going to be there next Sunday to help get the camp ready for those who are going to participate in that. So this next Sunday, that's our bean field next Sunday. Opportunities to serve in that area. And all you need to do is go to northeastchurch.com, click on the green serve button, and there you go. You can click right on that and participate in that work. So why don't we have a word of prayer? I encourage you. Is Lamarque still here, isn't he? He didn't leave, did he? Lamarque, you still here? He's left the building. I hope not. I want you to say hi to Lamarque and just encourage him. He is here. He has not left the building. Make sure you talk to our brother there and encourage him. Thank you for encouraging us. And let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for this moment in time that we can just be together, be encouraged, be challenged about finishing. And Lord, we've begun the race, and there are great challenges. Sometimes we're tempted to quit, but Lord, we don't want to quit. We want to persevere. We want to get in the game. We want to stay in the game. And we want to do that through your power and your goodness and your grace, through the anointing that you have given us all through your Spirit. Lord, may we be your servants this week and in our lives to the very end. Lord God, we pray that you would bless Lamarque, bless his whole family and the family at Kumo. And Lord, bless us in our partnership with them. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. And help us go this week with the light of Jesus in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's all say amen. Amen.